Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Breaking Through.
Breaking Through.
Turn up the volume for a powerful hour of radio.
I turn it on and I leave it on.
If you want something different,
you have to do something different.
Fun for everybody to enjoy.
Join Georgie Ann each Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern as she shines the light on dynamic and fascinating individuals.
I just think it's great.
And now, everything you always wanted to know, but were afraid to ask. Get ready for a breakthrough with your host, Georgie Ann.
Today is Tuesday, May 19th, 2009, and I am so happy to invite everyone back to Breaking Through. If I sound a little different and nasally, it's because I have a cold, but nothing would stop me from being here tonight. I'll get over a cold. Before I get started, though, I want to let everyone know I received a whole bunch of email asking about Daniel Brinkley, because if any of you were listening last week, we were waiting for him, and he didn't show up, and it was a huge miscommunication, because I know Daniel well enough, he always shows up, always. I mean, that would have been our third show together, so I just want to make sure no one else is alarmed, because he is doing just fine. He is out on the road, he is doing his thing, and he is going to be coming back probably in July, maybe June, but we're thinking July. So just make sure you're a part of the newsletter, that you sign up for it, because he will be back, and we want to make sure you know all about that. And speaking of last week's show, I need to give a very special thank you to Terry. She offered her own insight and kept the ball rolling for me with no guest. She was wonderful, and I want to thank Terry publicly, just let everyone know I really appreciated her sticking in with me. But no further ado, I have a very special guest tonight. I love this guest. I looked in my records to see when I last spoke to her, and it was 2005. I've known her since then. I was amazed at that. But my guest this evening is Amara. Amara, are you with us?
I'm with you, Georgianne.
Oh, I love you, Amara.
Oh, bless your heart.
I do. I looked in my records, and I last spoke to you in 2005. Do you believe it's been that long?
I was just going to say, I can't believe it's been that long. You know, we talk about accelerating time, and for me, we talk about 4 years, 10 years, and it seems like yesterday.
I know. I am sitting there going, oh, my God, I can't believe I've known her that long. I'm so, I mean, that just means that you're just like family, so, I mean, that's good.
Well, you know, we're all connected in some way, and I love connecting with my spiritual family around the world. It makes me feel like we're all tied together during these times when everybody's running around like chickens with their heads cut off trying to keep up with the pace of life.
Oh,
we know that out there we're spiritually or emotionally and just joyfully connected to those people with whom we resonate and just feel a sense of home to.
Absolutely. God, that is the truth. But, you know, before we get further, because, you know, you and I can talk, you know, we know this already. Yeah, everyone's in for a treat tonight. But I want everyone to know how I found you. I found you because I bought the book 14 years ago, maybe. Has it been that long?
It came out in 1990, August of 1996 or 97.
Okay, so it's probably been about 13 years since I've had this book. And it's called The 100 Top Psychics in America, Their Stories, Specialties, and How to Contact Them. And, you know, I'm one of these people that I never really want to read about love that much. I'm a businesswoman. I love business. And so I found you, and it's like your specialty is business. And I thought, perfect fit for me. Perfect.
Absolutely. I'm infamous. There aren't many psychics with my background, and there aren't many people with my background that are professional intuitives.
Why don't you tell everyone about your background? You know, I could sit here and read it, but I think it'll sound much better coming from you.
I have the unusual background for someone in this world of having an MBA from Northwestern University, Kellogg Graduate School of Management. I specialized in marketing, corporate strategy, and international business. I also have an undergraduate degree in economics with a specialty in international economics. And I studied abroad in Paris at l'Institut d'études politiques, which is where I studied international economics and political science and specialized in the third world and the common market and the economic development of the third world. I used to run major divisions of corporate America. I am responsible for a little baby in a pouch called Capri Sun. Many families out there have been giving it to their children. It was the first all-natural juice drink that came out in the market.
Yeah.
It was unique. I worked with Libby's Nestle on also created kind of the chunky concept, which is now ubiquitous in consumer packaged goods marketing. I left consumer packaged goods marketing in the mid-80s when Silicon Valley was hiring marketing specialists like myself. And I went to Silicon Valley and took over a division where my assignment was either to divest or turn it around. And I quintupled profit and quadrupled sales in a year. So I have a very traditional kind of blue chip business background. And they used to say that I had great business acumen. Little did they know. And I accredit that to not only my education, but my experience and my intuition of being able to spot trends or spot what problems are and the root of the problems and why I was able to achieve senior executive status while I was still in my 20s in corporate America. But that part of me that is intuitive and that is questioning and that since a child had other experiences than most people was always on a quest for self-understanding, first of all, and then the answers to the mysteries of life, the whys and the wherefores of how someone like me is able to know answers to questions that logic defies.
And you know what's interesting about you, too, and I'm going to interrupt you for a minute, but I think one of the gifts that you have is how you're able to connect with people so easily is that you were also an actress. I mean, what have you not done?
Yeah, I had a lifelong dream of acting, and I performed as a hobby on the side, dancing and acting. And when I had the chance to break the golden handcuffs, having overachieved my goals in business, I did it, and I took myself to Hollywood, and I became a union actor within 9 months and had roles on General Hospital and had a lead in a feature film, did some commercials, and I loved it. I just had a great time. I enjoyed it, and again, little did I know, the intuitive aspect came in. I once met an acting coach that she said, you give me a good psychic, and I can give you a good actor, because acting is all about listening, and being intuitive is all about listening on a different level. So what I found out later is through a personal injury where my acting career that was really moving quite rapidly and successfully was stopped dead in its tracks with a back injury. Mm-hmm. And I was somewhat written off by the medical community, and it was metaphysician heal thyself. And at that moment, all of these separate parts of myself that were somewhat hidden had to come together and had to come to the surface to heal myself. And it led to pretty much an avalanche of coming out of the closet, as I like to call it, professionally as an intuitive. I had professionals coming to me for advice. I had more people asking for advice. And physically, I had to resort to alternative means to heal. So what I look back in hindsight and see, there's the divine plan of my life, the pragmatism and the experience in business, the excellent education, brought together with teaching me how to entertain, and all of this comes together in the last 20, 21 years of working with individuals and with groups, hopefully to motivate, inspire, coach, advise, and do so with some sense of entertainment, a sense of humor, so that we can all hear the life's lessons or hear the opportunities and not be discouraged by the obstacles in our path.
Exactly. And, you know, you strike me as someone is that if you want it, if there's anything you want, there is nothing stopping you. Am I right?
You know, I think that all of us have within us the capability of putting passion behind our goals and making them easier to manifest than we believe. And I guess I'm blessed with that ability to just say, regardless of the circumstance, pick yourself up, you dust yourself off. I think I mentioned to you once, as Frank Sinatra says, and get back in the race. And you just move forward, and you don't take no for an answer, not in a negative way, But you be creative about, well, if there's an obstacle or if this seems difficult or people telling me the odds are against me, let me be creative about how I make it work. And if it's supposed to happen, if it's meant to be, if you're living your truth, it'll happen. And if not, then it's because perhaps you're on the wrong path, or maybe you're moving in the wrong direction, or you've read the messages incorrectly.
That is very important, because you know what? I want to give everyone the phone number to call in to ask you a question, because this is a very rare opportunity to be able to talk to you. And the call-in number is 347-215-8252. And I want to make sure everyone is going to be able to get a chance to at least ask you a question. And we'll talk in between. But it's such a rare and wonderful opportunity. And you know what? We've already got a caller. And someone in area code 856 is with us. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi. Say
Hi.
Hello to Amara.
Hi. Hi. Who is this?
This is Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
You know what? I've been listening, and you're hitting on everything that I'm going through right now. And I haven't been able to come out on the other side. You know, everything that I used to do and I used to touch, it would just work. It would just flow. It would just go. And I'm in a period now where I just can't get direction, or every time I think I'm moving in the right direction, something, you know, a block comes up. And it's probably myself. I just don't know how to step out of it and step around it.
Teresa,
to get on
there
the other
seems
side.
To be a proposal or an opportunity in your recent past that came up that you need to re-examine, because you're right. Where you are right now isn't working, and it looks like you're going to continue to have delays, blockage, almost unexpected surprises that keep you from moving forward or getting out of the quagmire. And I am being told to look back to a proposal or an opportunity that you had that you need to re-examine and possibly get yourself redirected onto a different path. Basis that opportunity. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I believe so. I was in a contract with someone that I've put a lot of time and energy, and every time we just get ready to take off, they get in their own way, which automatically...
There's a lot of legal issues to that contract.
Yes.
And there's a little bit of an illusion there on your part about how it's going to work. And actually, that contract is less of an opportunity and more of a hindrance that's muddying up your waters.
Okay.
So what I want you to do is reexamine that opportunity and possibly go back to redirecting yourself from that, because I see that stuck in some legal issues, some contractual issues, I feel like there's a combination overlaying on each other, that person's issues as well as your own with that person. There is you're right, there's opportunity for work and possibilities with that person, but it seems to be clouded by the illusion of being able to make it happen with that person, almost as if, yeah, the potential's there, but I just don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, see, my contract ends with them on June 10th, and I'm really looking forward to it, which sounds terrible, but I know that it has to come to an end, and I need to move on.
And that's what has to be made clean. And once
okay.
you can make that clean, and almost psychically, metaphysically, spiritually, emotionally, you can move on. You can say, you know, June 10th, I know legally and physically, logistically, I'm done. So now let me point my energy in another direction. I teach my students, and anybody that's listening that knows me is going to go, oh, my God, here she goes again with the energy is like a bullet. Energy is like a bullet. It doesn't know the difference between a rapist or a four-year-old little girl. It will just hit wherever you aim it. So what I want you to do is aim this energy, rifle your energy now in the new direction, rather than kind of sitting in your quagmire and just waiting for it to clear with the contract. So
okay.
I want you to step ahead of the time schedule and advance time, if you will, for yourself. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
It makes sense why you work in business too, Amara. that sounded like great advice.
Well, you know, we like to think, oh, I'm going to escape and get my spiritual advice. And that's wonderful. I like to escape and fly with the angels too. But if the advice isn't practical, what good is it in the third dimensional plane? We have to be able to incorporate it. We have to be able to implement it from within the bodies that we're inhabiting. Otherwise, it doesn't do us a lot of good, and we spend our time floating around in airy-fairy nebulae, and that doesn't get us anywhere.
Right. Hell true.
Did you have any other questions?
No, I don't, but thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, Teresa. I hope that helps, and keep me posted. Let me know how it goes.
I sure will. Thank you.
Thanks, Teresa. That was great advice.
Well, you're welcome.
Great advice.
It really is. It is important that people have a sense of pragmatism when they're seeking advice from someone like me. That
and it sounds
they
like
don't
she
want
kind of
some,
knew.
She knew exactly what I was talking about, but needs the clarity of, am I supposed to fight through this and work with it, or am I supposed to let it go? And the thing we might think is the opportunity we need to force or make happen mm-hmm. is actually oftentimes the very thing we need to let go.
So how do you know the difference? I mean, how would a typical person know, okay, this isn't for me, this isn't the way to go, but yet in their mind they may think, if I just do something a little different, do something, maybe I'm just not doing the right thing. How are we supposed to know?
Well, you know, they can call me.
Well, of course, and we're going to give them instructions on
and
how to do it.
And short of calling me, it is hard. I mean, that is the hard part, isn't it? That's where this concept of listening comes in, mm-hmm. this concept of pushing away the noise of modern life, which
like
literally
texting.
Deafens us. Oh, God. Excuse me. I'm sorry. The constancy of the noise. The multitasking of, I got to be texting, I've got to be listening to the radio, I've got to have the TV on, I got to be channel surfing while I'm texting, while I'm driving, while I'm eating, while I'm talking on the phone. First of all, not only is it so rude, but it is damaging. I truly believe it is damaging, and I truly believe that from what I've seen in the last 20 years, last 25 years, that we've raised one generation and we're raising a second that doesn't know how to listen to their inner voice because they are so deafened by the chaos of the noise and the machinery and the electronics and the constancy of having to be doing at all times. Mm-hmm. And doing is a very masculine act as opposed to being, which is the feminine. So we're further exaggerating the masculine dominance of our society rather than balancing between the masculine and feminine, the intuitive, creative, listening side, where we can find quiet and we can hear what's right. When I can get people to be quiet with me, sitting with me, whether it's on the phone or whether it's in front of me in a chair, I can often get them to feel, just feel in their gut, what is the right answer, regardless of what I say. But they need to be taken out of the clutter of their everyday lives.
Yeah, it's like going to a rock. It's like going to a rock concert and thinking you're going to hear somebody next to you. It's like, how can you? It's too noisy.
Yeah. It is very noisy, and then people are confused and they're making decisions based on those influences outside of themselves, mm-hmm. rather than what's true for them. Synthesizing the input and distilling it down to what's right for them, as opposed to just listening to everybody else's input and not knowing who they truly are. And we see it because then we see them blow up. We see them blow up in midlife with a midlife crisis. We see them blow up violently in some sad cases in youth. We see it in their relationships where everything is crumbling and the lack of intimacy is there. We get so used to the noise, we can't calm ourselves without it. It's like people who can't go to sleep without the TV on.
Mm-hmm.
And more and more and more people, if you talk to your friends, are people like that. I can't go to sleep without the TV on. We have sleep timers on our televisions now.
Wow.
So many people need that because they need the noise now to calm themselves, only it's really not calming them. It's just dulling them.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That is a good point. I know a lot of people, I won't even have a TV in my room. I will not have one there. I just think that's the only place to sleep. That's the place you go to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. Within minutes, it's over.
It's much, much healthier for the individual. Forget about if you have a hot relationship. But it is much healthier. And I lived without a TV at all for about 10 years. And it was so nice.
You probably didn't miss
it,
did you?
Oh, God, no. I got so much done. And I was so productive. And I was so in tune. And it's tempting.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not just the TV. It's the constancy of we've all got a Twitter and we've all got a text and we've all got to, you know, do all these things, as I mentioned before. And it truly does change the brain. Joseph Chilton Pierce has done a lot of research on this in his book, Evolution's End. And it's one of my favorites. I often use it when I'm speaking or quote him when I'm speaking to corporate groups because it's very mainstream. He did a lot of He pulls a lot of research from Stanford about the brain and its development. And he talks about how we're changing the frontal lobe of the brain because of the staccato style messages, both audibly and visually. So that is why this generation and the current one being raised is different and thinks differently and has to do all these things very quick, very fast, and almost in a very ADHD-like way.
Well, you know, you're mentioning the frontal lobe, and as far as I recall, that is the lobe, that part of the brain is what's responsible for understanding consequences for our actions.
Right.
I mean, isn't that critically, that could be very damaging to everyone.
Well, we see it. We hear news every day that we're incredible. Like, how could somebody do that? And how many times have we caught ourselves saying that? Where are they thinking? There's this loss of the connection between the act and the consequence, between the act and self-responsibility. And I'm disturbed by what I see, which is why for me it's so important for people to live a more conscious life in their everyday existence, because in doing that, we take more responsibility for ourselves, and taking more responsibility for the consequences of our actions,
mm-hmm.
we, believe it or not, lead ourselves to live more free to live freer lives.
Right.
When you don't take responsibility for your actions or you become a victim, then you're very ready to hand over the solutions to your problems to other people, to the government, to bureaucratic entities. Well, the minute you do that and you think they're going to save you, they're going to rescue you, they're going to bail you out, common
mm-hmm.
phrase right now.
Yeah.
You've lost your freedom, and it's insidious.
Mm.
It's insidious. Little by little, we give it away. And long term, as a society, we end up nothing more than a bunch of drones.
Wow.
So there are personal consequences, certainly, but then there's more communal, more global, broader consequences for the individuals who are very ready or very willing to, A, not listen, and then, B, turn over responsibility for how their lives turn out to other people or other organizations or other entities.
Now, I'm not sure you're going to know the answer to this, but, you know, you mentioned in the intro, you mentioned how much work you've done internationally. And do you find that other countries, or do you think that other countries are having the same, quote-unquote, noise problem as we're having?
We're spreading the American concept just as we spread, forgive me for those of you who work for or have stock in McDonald's, but we're spreading the concept around the world, the culture, just as we spread McDonald's, God heaven help us, around the world years ago. And I've seen it. And 2 years ago when I was in Italy teaching up in Tuscany, I noticed that still the culture was different than ours, but we're bleeding this staccato, quick, constancy, got to have it now, looking at what everybody else has, and this sense of giving away our ability to hear ourselves for everybody else's noise. And it concerns me.
Yeah.
Like I said, you give away your freedom when you do that. You give away your independence. And when I lived in Europe, what I loved about Europe and what I learned and was taught to me by others who lived there, I remember a wonderful woman and her husband were in their 60s or 70s at the time, and they took me, we were on the island of Sicilia near Palermo, and they took me to their little cottage on the beach. And these were not wealthy people with some big, you know, beach home. They had a little apartment in Palermo, and they had a little cottage, one-room cottage, by the sea. And all their lives they had lived on the island. And they had been married all their lives to the same person, and they were blessed, and they were happy, and they were at peace. And we walked to the top of the island. They wanted me to see the vantage point. And we walked to the top of this hill, and it was absolutely as exquisite as could be. It was turquoise and aqua and beautiful shades of blues and blue-greens in the Mediterranean below us and this terrain right at my feet. And I'm admiring it, thinking how special it was. But what amazed me was how they truly stood there and appreciated and enjoyed and absorbed the moment in Che Bella, you know. And it was genuine. It wasn't, oh, yeah, we see this every day and we're taking you on our 50-cent tour. It was truly, they absorbed. And you could see it in their face and in their eyes as they held hands and looked over the simplicity of enjoying that beauty that was put before them.
It was genuine.
And I mentioned this to them, and they said to me, you know, you Americans live to work. We work to live.
Mm.
In other words, we work because we need to live, to provide what we need. But it's not the end all. It is not an obsession with us. And we have the ability to have balance and take time to appreciate the moments.
Right.
And
right.
That's the listening part, the moments, not the days.
I agree.
Yeah.
And the sad part of it is that when you hear about Europe, when you hear about, you know, London, when they talk about having their holiday, I mean, they have a serious holiday, and they have it several weeks out of the year. Here, we work during our holiday because
right.
we're not going to be able to keep up.
You take the laptop, you take the phone. When I was in corporate, I would leave the country for my 2-week vacation because it was the only way my boss couldn't track me down. And my last corporate job, I went to the jungles of Brazil. You know, it was like he cannot get me there. But otherwise, I was expected to take his call for whatever little crisis, usually a hangnail, that came up. And I was expected to be available. And everybody that took domestic vacations, you know, they were reachable.
Well, what's a vacation about that?
Exactly.
There's no vacation about that. I mean, they're not calling – it's a working vacation, and I think they should give you an extra week or whatever.
The sad thing, when you asked is it spreading, is I just recently read, I can't quote where, that it was either in England or some part of Europe where they're talking about getting rid of that August automatic 3-week vacation. And it's a shame. I think there are a lot of wonderful things about America that we bring to the world. Americans are very generous people. We're the first to respond. We're the first to give. We're the first to donate. We're the first to care, despite how we are often maligned. And I'm very proud of that. We are a country where, unlike many other countries, you can be born and become anything. You're not born into a caste system, and you're not locked into that the rest of your life. And that's unique, that we are a beacon of light. We are meant to be an example of the world. That is our karmic role. So when we as individuals give up our freedoms for the sake of ease, for the sake of letting someone else take care of us, the rest of the world loses that beacon of free individual freedom and opportunity to grow or to live out a true, unique individual potential.
Wow, that is so true. We're not handling it very well, are we? We're really not.
You know, we're living in intense times. They seem to get more intense every year. For about 20 years now, we were warned that this would be intense, that we weren't exactly living in a good way,
mm-hmm.
thinking of the generations to come, too short term, and we needed to think more long term. And so the events that have occurred have forced many people to reconsider how they're living and to reconsider what's important in life. And in the end, that's a good thing. getting there might be a little painful, but it's just like childbirth. In the end, there's a beautiful gift at the end for both the child being born and the mother. But getting there is something we'd all like to not remember. So it's important that we keep it in perspective, that we don't get lost in the hype of fear, doom and gloom, and negativity that feeds on itself, and make decisions based on that fear. That's my concern right now with all the media negativity.
Yeah, I mean, any channel, I mean, look at CNN. Look at all these stations that give you news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no break.
Well, you're constantly bombarded with negativity and doom and gloom and failure, 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 failure. Well, there's that bullet going after the energy again. What you focus on is what becomes the reality. And you combine that with the noise and the clutter of everybody being plugged in, as you said, 24 hours a day. And literally now, you don't go and sit down and watch it. Now it chases you. It chases you on your BlackBerry and on your phone and on your computer with all these beeping in messages. Hey, somebody just updated their social network.
Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah.
I won't tweet. I have someone tweeting for me. I go in there maybe once a week just to see what's up because I can't get so caught up in that. I don't text. I went to my phone, my company, and I just said, disable that because I don't need it. All I need is a phone. If someone really
I don't tweet, I don't text either. That sounds like a country. There's a country song in there, Georgiana. I don't tweet and I don't text.
Hey, yeah. Let me see. I'll have to think. I know a lot of people in music, so I'll see if we can get that song.
I don't tweet and I don't text, but my life story is the best.
I love that. No, and I don't even turn my phone on unless I'm actually leaving the house. I don't turn my cell phone on. If I'm not leaving the house, it stays off. I just don't even turn it on. I can only answer one phone at a time.
And it's hard. You know, it's hard for people to get the it's like a drug, and kind of that's the idea. You're hooked, you're addicted, and that's exactly the point. But the objective is to get people hooked and addicted and using each service more, and now we don't have one social network. We get invited to 50 million, and yet we have to learn the self-discipline, like any other drug, to use it in moderation. I mean, they're excellent tools, and they are wonderful to keep us connected to people we wouldn't normally stay as connected to, our friends that live abroad, family, you know, that are out of state. But we have to use it in moderation, and especially with children. I think it's so important to raise your children clean of all this stuff until they are of a certain age.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, nowadays you can use Skype. There are websites that you can sign up, and if you'll listen to one advertisement, you can call internationally for free.
Right.
I mean, so we don't have.
And that's the good side of it. You know, it's the good side of the technology. But where I have concern for community, for culture, for people, is that we've gotten lost in it, and it's a good excuse to avoid our own lives. Mm-hmm. To avoid truly being intimate and looking eye to eye with someone in conversation and relationship because we want to text them, you know, as opposed to having a heart-to-heart or even just a brief conversation over the phone that contains so much more humanity. And in that way, staying in touch with the intuitive side that people come to me for or say, well, Amara, you know, I can't see what you see. You know, you're different. You're special. You know, you can see, you know, things that I can't. But yet I can teach people to do much more for themselves than what they even believe is possible. I teach Reiki, and it's amazing, literally, the magic that people are able to feel through the process of their spiritual unfoldment using Reiki as a first step that they never thought was possible. It's there. You just need to devote a little time and a little bit of energy to opening, to unfolding it like a flower within yourself that is a bud yet to bloom.
Now, as a visionary, if we continue on this path of constantly writing, calling, messaging, tweeting, I mean, is this a bubble that can break?
Sure. Anything that you do in the extreme, and then you multiply that exponentially by the modality, by the variety, and then everybody's doing it, it's like putting too much air in a balloon. It's going to explode at some point. We've already seen it happen. You know, we've seen it explode with school shootings, with crime rampages that seem to have no logic, with non-economic, illogical crimes spreading from our culture to other cultures, with the economy, with the comeuppance due in the banking industry and others. So the difference is that people think that the change, the earth changes, are going to happen in one single 24-hour period, all at the same time. We're all going to experience the same event, cataclysmically. Ask the people in Santa Barbara this week if Armageddon didn't happen last week. One of my clients there, whose house, God bless them, is still standing, is surrounded by houses who aren't.
And what do you attribute that to?
That, you know, in 1989, when I was given the visions and the earth prophecies, I was shown that we would be moving into a more dualistic existence, and that these changes would occur, but they weren't going to occur in some single event, and then, oh, we're done, okay, now let's pick ourselves up and keep doing the same old thing. It would happen individually, and they would happen over a period of time as a way for people to get the lesson and to learn, and to change the culture, to change the way they're living. And when I hear people go through these incidences and say to me, it looks like Armageddon here, it's like, well, yeah, it is your Armageddon. But in the process of these prophecies, what I saw and what I was told was that if you're living your truth, if you're doing what you know is right for you, for your family, for yourself, for your career, for your relationship, if you are not making decisions based on fear, I will stay in this relationship because I'm afraid of getting divorced and being poor. I will stay in this relationship because I'm afraid of being alone. I will stay in this job I hate doing things that are awful because I'm afraid I won't get another job or I can't do anything else or I'm afraid to come out of the closet with whatever talent I have. Whatever it is, when you make decisions based on fear, it leads to greed. When you conduct a society out of greed, it's going to be explosive and destructive. What I saw was that those who had the courage to live their truth, to seek their truth, more and more would be finding unique ways to live, careers that were unique, not cookie-cutter titled, that more and more titled jobs that we'd grown up to expect would go away, and more people would have to make their living by creating their own jobs, their own definitions of a career, using a combination of the various talents and skills and education they had. And that those people would be co-creating heaven on earth, as we so often hear people desiring. Those people would be moving into the most joyous times in their life, where somehow it all comes together and everything's taken care of. But those who continue to beat their head against a brick wall, whose values are out of sync, who are based on fear and greed, will not be rewarded for that. And for them, it will be a life of school shootings and drive-bys and Armageddon-type disasters. And it's not to say that people that experience these things are bad at all, by any means. But it is to say that when the society as a whole is going down a wrong path, the only way to change it is for individuals to start to awaken to the light, to the truth, to changing. And as you change the individual, a new flame is lit, and every time a new flame is lit, the power of the light gets stronger, and the power of the dark dims.
Right. And we get caught up with collective energy, too. I mean, if we surround ourselves with these people, I mean, it's going to be contagious, isn't it?
Oh, it's certainly contagious. I mean, it's contagious to me. You know, I get on the road, and I feel this energy, and my daughter will tell you, I don't sound very spiritual when I'm driving. You know? Look at that idiot. What did you do that for? You've got kids in the car. Oh, my God, you just cut me off. I have a child in the car. How selfish can you be, you know? I am inundated, especially as a sensitive, with the energy in all these cars on the road around me that I feel this isolationism, this negativity, this kind of a tunnel vision. I got to get where I'm going because if I don't, you know, it's all based on fear that I've only got, there's only one pie to be divvied up and I got to get my piece or else I'm, you know, going to be out of luck. And people are at war with each other.
Right.
And it's easy to get sucked into the news stories and even people that are supposed to know better like me.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it, as soon as you hear a story, and if it involves children, I mean, the first thing a parent is going to do is to give a check to their children to make sure, are they okay? You know,
right.
And the fear ensues.
Right, right. Absolutely. When Columbine happened here, my daughter was in kindergarten, and her school went on lockdown. She was in a private school 5 miles away, but it was across the street from an elementary school that rumors surfaced said might be another target. And it was scary, but for me, I'm seeing the vision, you know, coming true. One of the visions was young men shall roam the streets with guns and gangs and in violence against each other and their own. And here it was happening. And there are so many elements at play here. We can't blame any one thing. But it is about a lifestyle, and it is about thinking ahead, and it is about centering ourselves in who we are,
mm-hmm.
To put things back in balance, to put humanity in balance. You know, the natives have a saying that any decision that you make, you must consider the seventh generation. How will this affect the seventh generation? We don't do that.
Right.
And we need to learn from that. And we're finding out that by not doing that, we have our comeuppance. We have financial crisis, banking crisis, housing crisis, unemployment, high gas prices.
You know,
it's ridiculous.
The thing about having been in this business and entertainment for a while, especially when working with visionaries and intuitives, people sit there and they draw, you know, they expect everything an intuitive tells them that it's either going to happen or it's not. They're either right or wrong. They're either good or not good. But people seem to lose the idea of what a free will society is.
Absolutely.
And it's almost like they don't understand. I mean, once you give them information, don't you feel like they can attribute that any way they want and they could possibly change your prediction as soon as it's given?
You know, my specialty, first of all, I won't work with people like that over time. The minute I get somebody that I call a psychic junkie who's looking for an excuse not to take control of their own lives.
Yeah, what blouse do I wear today? What color?
I kind of cut them off. It would be very nice for me financially not to, because those are, but it's not right to feed that. But what I work with people, I have clients that are, you know, I've been working with for 12 years, and because it's business, you know, you can work with them over that time. There's always something to work on, a project, an opportunity, a development, a plan. But often, personally, when I work with people, that's why I need new clients, because if I'm doing my job right, I wean them off of me. I teach my clients to do for themselves what I do for them. They may not be able to go out and do it for everybody else, but they can certainly learn better how to do it for themselves. My core belief in what I do is that a prophecy fulfilled is a prophecy failed. I would much rather have something negative that I see happening never happen, and you never think I was right, than be able to have that catastrophe happen or that bad decision play out and then be able to say, I told you so. Because the whole point of coming to somebody like me is to be able to take charge of your free will and say, okay, she's shown me the hall. She's turned the light on the hall. She's even shown me there are multiple doors down that hall through which I can walk. And she showed me what's behind each of those doors. It is my choice to either walk down the hall or not. It is my choice which door I open and which door I choose to walk through. I will help guide them on that path, choosing the doors, choosing the hall, walking through once they've walked through what happens next. But they have to make the decision. And the best use of someone like me is to take the information and then use it to maximize your dreams and your potential or your goals, and minimize the obstacles or the problems or the obstructions along the way.
Right. And so when someone calls you for a reading, and I want to make sure to let everyone know how they can contact you. I mean, we still have 15 minutes, but I'm going to plug this away. But you're based out of Colorado.
Right.
So, but you also travel to California and to New York and New Jersey, and you have classes, and you if anyone is living, I guess you have on June 4th through the 9th, you're going to be in Northern California. Is that going to be classes? Is that going to be for giving private sessions, or what is the idea of
my, my that trip is to see clients privately and individually in Marin County, in Alameda County, and in Sonoma County. But I also, on that Saturday the 6th, am doing a short little talk on how to work with a psychic and other entities, such as myself, to help people learn how to get the best use, or bang for their buck, to be quite practical, and understand working better with alternative modalities and intuitives and intuition in general. A lot of the travel I do, as you say, it varies whether I'm speaking or teaching or seeing clients privately. But I feel very grateful, and I'm blessed, is that I work worldwide with clients by phone. So I don't have to go where you are, and you don't have to come where I am. I have clients that fly in, but I can just simply work with you by telephone. For me, it's the same whether I'm with you in person or whether I'm with you by phone. I have clients that I've worked with for 10 or 12 years. I've never met them.
Well, I found you, and I was pleased.
There you go. Yeah, you're an example of that.
I loved it. No, I love the session we had.
And it doesn't feel to me like I've never met them. I feel like they're family, and I know them intimately.
I know. We were just talking about being soul sisters just the other day.
Yeah.
But if
the audience that we went on, we were to talk for a few minutes, and we went on and on pontificating about the universe, talking about opportunities for the universe and the world and all the different aspects of it.
And I was like, where's my microphone? We could have taped this. We could have had another show. This is terrible.
You know, we are so rich with opportunity right now. We're talking a lot about the heavy stuff, and it is intense, and it is scary for a lot of people. And I like to think that's my role, is to help people through these transitional times. You know, if I had a dime for every time the first phone call starts with, Imar, I'm calling you because I've got an important decision to make, or I'm going through a difficult transition. This is the time when we need to reach out and find a different way of finding our answers or our solutions, because the old ways don't work. The old paradigm is being shattered for good reason. And yet, in that, there are many opportunities for people to live healthier, more fulfilling, more joyful lives in a society that can be more peaceful and accepting of other aspects of society. So it's exciting. On the one hand, it's frustrating to look at humanity. On the other hand, to me, it's exciting to see the potential.
It is, because, I mean, businesses usually, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're the professional here, but businesses run in 7-year cycles, or they run in a cycle. I mean, everything is not forever where a business is concerned. I mean, once a business starts...
No, that's true.
Any
time we get locked into thinking, well, what I did last year works, so I can do that for the next 10 years, is sorely mistaken. Often those are the people that I talked about earlier banging their heads against a wall, wondering why it's not working.
Look at the car industry. I mean,
right.
How many cars do we need?
But how long have we gotten the warning? I mean, I stood in line in the 70s, when I was in high school, brand new with my license. I was just a child, you know, with my license. You know, in Sunnyvale, California, on the odd day or the even day, you know, only being allowed to buy gas on an odd or an even day, depending on the license plate, and waiting in line sometimes for an hour, 2 hours with everybody else just to get gasoline. Why didn't we change then? And here we are 30 years later lamenting the same issues. We're not waiting in line, but we've got cost issues. And we've got, you know, affordability issues, and now we have a market issue where people just refuse to buy those things that aren't going to serve them anymore, that are obsolete. Why for 30 years did we ignore those signs? And now we act surprised that the industry is being forced to change.
Right. Yeah, and then we want to bail them out because they weren't willing to change in the direction. So, I mean, and we did bail
them
out.
I'm kind of a free market economist. I'm a... my economics training is very much free market, more
mm-hmm.
free market. There are some things, yes, that need to be regulated, but I am very much go to the core. When you study economic history, when you study social history, when you look at how free and generous society is with each other, with the underclass of society, with the minorities of society, with women, it's only during economic good times that society is more generous. During economic harsh or hard or scarce times, freedom tightens down, especially on those that are less than, that have no power. So I believe that economic success is at the basis of social success and social well-being and social generosity, because it's a historical fact.
Right.
So for me, it's important that we succeed economically, because it's at the basis of our freedom. And so many people don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're all tied together. And that's why it's important to me that we get our lessons from a business or an economic or a social standpoint, looking at the business side of it, looking at the economic side of it and how society works. Because when we don't thrive as an economy, then the freedoms tighten up on people
right.
in that society.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, everything changes. It becomes a ripple effect.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we allow our markets to be free to self-adjust and let the market determine a lot of the outcomes, then the natural balance will take place, you know. And then individual freedoms, individuals will have more freedom. The minute we start over-controlling and taking over individual and privatizing everything, we get into trouble. You know, there's going to be a price to pay. We're just postponing the inevitable.
Right.
But that's why it pays for people to be creative now, so they can bypass the sense that they have no control. You can be creative in your individual career. You can be creative in your personal life of where you live and how you choose to live and how you take and synthesize your background, your experience, and your talents and create your own career, your own title, your own business, your own job, so that you are not at the mercy of forces larger than you.
Well, I raised my hand because that's exactly what I did.
That is exactly what you did.
I mean, I left an airline, and everyone thought I was nuts. They're like, you left an airline. You left, you know, the retail establishment. And it was sad, and I cried about it because it's like, God, everybody thinks that I'm doing the wrong thing. I must be crazy. I must be, I mean, you know.
But look at how prescient you were. You left the airline. Hello? That's not exactly an industry that's been doing well. You left the retail industry. Hello? You know? It's like you got out while the wave was cresting rather than when it was breaking against the shore.
Exactly. But, you know, still, when you hear, and this is part of the problem, I think, for other people, they get sad when they find out that something happened to your job or that you did something. They just automatically think you didn't make a good decision. And
you know why?
Why?
Because you are throwing in their face, you are forcing them to look in the mirror of their own dissatisfaction. They, too, perhaps have been unhappy for 5 years and feeling like it's drudgery, but they haven't had the courage to make a decision. They've used all sorts of excuses why they can't.
Mm. You're right.
You, by doing it, says it's possible. They have no excuses. I experienced that when I left the corporate world. I had friends that liked me because I was a nice little prestigious yuppie with all these titles and all this success. And when I left, I was like, whoa, you must be crazy to leave all that behind in the golden handcuffs. And you're going to do what? You're going to go to Hollywood? And you should have heard them when I left Hollywood to do what I'm doing now. Are you crazy? You know?
Well, I'm sure happy you did it. I'm
sure. Oh, bless your heart.
It's
well,
true.
But when you live your truth, you become a catalyst for others, but you also then shine the light of their own kind of fear that, oh, my God, I have no excuse. Everybody else around me is not doing it. I'm safe. The minute someone around them breaks through, as Georgianne would say,
yeah.
They have to self-examine, and that's hard.
It is. It is,
and
they don't know what
to
do with themselves.
No, it doesn't mean you have to leave the system. I always say we can change more from working within the system than we can by standing on the fringe with a sign being violent or being defiant. You know, if you have power in the system, you have a lot more ability to change it than if you want to dig your heels in on an extreme kind of reactionary type of way. So it doesn't mean everybody has to leave the system. If anything, it means you need to stand in your courage to change.
Exactly. Well, we've only got 5 minutes left, but I just want to make sure everyone is going to know how to contact you. And I am going to give you, I don't do this very often, to just give my stamp of approval on somebody because, you know, a lot of people, especially in my line of work, they look to me, but I'm giving you a huge stamp of approval. I mean, everybody needs an opportunity to have the opportunity to read with you, and I highly recommend it. You helped me a lot years ago, and I was so glad for this little book, The 100 Top Psychics in America, and you didn't get in here by a fluke or by a coincidence. You earned every page, every word they said about you, Amara. I mean, you're phenomenal. You really are. And I love your grounding.
And I'm glad you're back on the radio. I just feel wonderful, wonderful delight, and I am so happy that you're doing what you're doing as well. And I would like to exchange, reciprocate, and offer a gift to your listeners by offering them a 10% discount for anyone that does wish to try me out and to do a consultation. 10% off of any length reading. I don't have any set programs. You're the client. You determine whether you need the typical hour, an hour and a half, or whether you want to sample me for 20 minutes. But I would like to offer all Breaking Through listeners a 10% discount off your first consultation.
That is a deal. That is a deal. Boy, what about recurring? I'm joking. I am reading with you on my birthday like I did the last time. I am reading with you on my birthday. You're my birthday gift to me. But I want everyone to take this opportunity. Now, they can call you. Do you prefer phone calls or do you prefer they go to your website?
They can go to my website, thewisdomlight.com or toppsychic.com. The Wisdom Light is probably easier to spell. .com. Or they can call me at 303-575-1100, 303-575-1100. And either way, I'd be delighted to hear from them and happy to work with them.
And what's wonderful about Blog Talk Radio, which people will be able to listen to this podcast as often as they like, so you could probably get residual business from it, you know, months on, years on end, because it's going to stay put. But just to let everyone know, I've read with Amara for the last several years. I'm going to be reading with her again for my birthday next month, and you won't be disappointed. Of course, I only read with you on business. I probably maybe should read with you on something else next time just because. But I've always been pleased, and I've always been ecstatic about our time together. And so I want to highly recommend that to everyone. And aren't you on some social networking sites too?
I am on LinkedIn. I'm on Plaxo. I did open a Facebook and MySpace account, but I haven't set them up. It's yet another thing on my plate. But I am on LinkedIn and Plaxo, so you're welcome to search me out there as well.
Good. So are you listed just as Amara, right?
Amara, the Wisdom Light. But my website, thewisdomlight.com, is where you'll find information about my consulting with a vision, my healing from the heart, and my empowerment for life.
And you're one sharp lady, I'm telling you. I think you're intelligent. I think you're grounded. I think everyone needs an opportunity to read with you. And I also want to let everyone know, before we hang up, next week I have Sophie Giuliano from Gorgeously Green. I don't know if anyone recalls her. She was on Oprah.
Heard of her.
Have you?
Yeah, I saw her book featured. It looks wonderful.
Oh, she's beautiful. She's gorgeous, and her message is gorgeous too. She's a big, she does a lot of work with Julia Roberts, but she's going to teach us how to be a lot more conscious about how we're living and about how to be more resourceful and about how to live a more natural life. And I highly recommend everyone tune in next week. But
I saw her interviewed, I think it was on Good Morning America even, and I highly recommend what she has to say. She had a lot of great tips, and I so support what she's doing about being more conscious consumers and consciously living, breathing, beautifying yourselves. It was really some great ideas.
From the inside out. I mean, she teaches you from the inside out how to live a uniquely wonderful life. But in the meantime, I want to thank you, Amara. I want to thank you so much for being here. I hope you'll come back again because
I would love to.
I want you back again.
Maybe
I want you a regular.
Discussions.
No, you're going to be a regular. You are. I've decided.
Well, thank
Everyone
you for having me. I've enjoyed it. It's been a delight, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to everybody and share the info.
Absolutely. And I know we've had some callers that popped in and popped out because I never got to them in time, and they just popped out again. So I'm sure you'll be hearing from them, and I'm sure they'll have another opportunity to listen to you in the future.
Great.
But thank you so much for coming on, and we will see you again shortly. I'm going to have my assistant book you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank
take
you,
care
Amara.
Of yourself. Thank you to everyone who's listening.
Good night.
Good night.